Hello. Good morning to all of you. Before we listen to the word of God, let's give unto God. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come to the house of God. God is so wonderful to feel your presence. God, right now we just want to honor you with our substance. Pay our tithe, give our offering. Bless us bountifully as we give to you. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and we pray.
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name.
We are having Communion Sunday. I believe that you have with you. Okay, if you don't have, please approach the leaders, okay, behind. They can pass it to you. I'm going to read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when they had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we will judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Okay, communion is a time where we enter into fellowship with Christ. You must understand, during the time of Jesus Christ, they literally have lunch. Okay, after service, where they have meal together. Okay, and a bread, which is one whole loaf, will be passed to everybody. Okay, they do show the Lord's death, meaning to say that when they eat of the bread, they remember Christ that died, his body died on the cross for all of us, okay, for them also. And when they partake of the drink, they think of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Okay, but the Bible says that when we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we must examine ourselves. No, the Bible says when you he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. For this cause many sleep. You know what is the meaning? They are cursed. They die. Physically. So I want you to examine yourself before we partake of the bread. Father, right now we just want to thank you for this time. As we search our body, as you search ourselves, as we search our mind, we search our heart. Father, if there's anything in our life that is wrong right now, we confess it to you. Okay, I give you a few seconds to just confess your sin before God. Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary. Let your blood cleanse us from all sin as we enter into communion with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's partake of the bread. Okay, let's drink of the cup. Thank you very much. God bless you. Just want to encourage you that Good Friday is coming. So please, okay, like Pastor Lee said, it's a Passover. Passover is important. You have to come, okay? I believe that you will come because of your tradition. Just want to thank you for praying for Ukraine, okay? I think the latest we heard is that they have pushed back quite a lot of the soldiers in from Russia, okay, and they have started to enter into Russia's territory. That means they bring the war to Russia. Let's pray that God will protect Russia, because now they are sending a lot of Syrian soldiers. Okay, they are terrorists. to come and fight on the side of Russia. Okay, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for hearing our prayer. God, it is the 38 or 39 days already since the invasion. And God, you are so good that the capital of Kyiv is now rid of any soldiers, Lord. Even that the Chernobyl, okay, the nuclear site has caused the Russians to leave and they were contaminated with the nucleus. They were contaminated. For God, we thank you for all this. Father, right now, I just pray for protection. I pray that God, the soldiers of Ukraine will be daring to bring the war to Russia. Let them know how much the Ukraine has suffered. And Father, I pray that the news in Russia will be so bad, that the people of Russia will turn against Putin and will wipe and remove him from power, that the country of the world can be restored to peace one more time. God, we thank you for this time. We can listen to the word of God also. We pray that you bless the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, let's turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Then we're going to move to verse 20. Then we're going to move to chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. Okay, but let's start with Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ, who bear records of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that read, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, Jesus is saying that, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlestick. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven golden candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. Okay, so the stars are the angels, the candlesticks are the churches. Let's move to the first church. I'm not going to talk about just one church, I'm going to talk about the whole church, okay? All the seven churches, but we'll just read the first church. Unto the angels of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that hold the seven stars, that means Jesus, in his right hand and walk in the midst of the seven golden candlestick. That means he walked among the churches. He said this, I know your works, your labor, your patience, how you cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of this place, except you repent. But this you have, and that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Jesus also hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcome, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I'm going to title my sharing this morning, Jesus' Letter to Us. Okay, just I put the word letter, not letters, okay? Jesus' Letter to Us. Jesus' Letter to Eventual Tabernacle. John is obviously well acquainted with these seven churches and the seven cities. Thus, one of the reasons why Jesus chose John, assigned him to deliver the letter to the seven churches. It is said that John's ministry, especially during his old age, it was said that he was 92 years old. It was said that he was one of the pastors of the church in Ephesus. I told you that John died in old age. John did not die a martyr. So in his old age, he was always ministering to Asia Minor. Asia Minor is present-day Turkey. Okay, if you go to Turkey today, which my daughter went, she went to the place where the Ephesus church was. And they are all torn down, all gone. It's very sad that Turkey today is a Muslim country. So John was actually working in Ephesus. And there was this story that tells that during the Lord's Supper, okay, maybe like communion, John was invited to give a little speech to the church in Ephesus about church life. And his word has always been the same. He said this, "Little children," we are the little children, I told you last Sunday, "I tell you to love one another." Little children, I tell you to love one another. When a fellow workers asked John, "Brother, we have already understood that. You have walked with the Lord. You have been with Him for 3 years. Don't you have another teaching from Jesus for us?" John answered something like this: "If one day you understand that, you understand love, there's nothing else you need to learn about the church life. There's nothing else you need to learn about the church life." My mom is 86 years old. When we were back in Singapore during 20 months, okay, when we were there for 20 months, my mom, there was one period she felt very sick, very, very sick. And all my brothers and sisters were very, very concerned. I remember I was working, but that night I told Pastor Lily, "I'm going to go and pray for her. Pastor Lily, join me." And it was very late that night. It was very late in the night. And when I arrived, I laid my hands on my mom and she vomited out something. Immediately, she felt better after vomiting out that something. Then Pastor Lily goes, you know, Pastor Lily is very straight. Pastor Lily told her that she must forgive my father. My dad was wrong. Okay, I think many of you can understand. Your father has not been an example. My father was also not an example. And even until today, he's not an example, even though he is a Christian. He was wrong in the sense that when my mom was young, okay, you must imagine that there are 10 in my family, including my father and my dad. There were 8 of us siblings. And she single-handedly worked so hard in an entire life. That's why I've told you that when you have money problem, I see your face, I can tell. Because I've seen it all my life in my mom's life. She worked very hard in entire life to take care of 8 siblings. I want you to think of a woman taking care of 8 children. Now in her old age, my dad still did not take care of her and still asked her for money. I think my mom's bitterness because of that has affected her health and even her spiritual life. We advised her to forgive my dad. And she did. She did forgive him for a while. For 1 year, she was getting better. We were surprised that after she vomited out something, she became better, much better. Recently, my mom starts to manifest sickness again. And this time, she has symptoms of dementia. Pastor Lily has been telling her something. And my sister, say this when she got this sickness again. "I think that mom need to forgive dad." And Pastor Lily has been telling her that because of unforgiveness, she is affected in the health and even developed dementia. And I just want to tell you, in this church, even as a pastor, you got to learn to forgive. Okay, you got to learn to forgive. So so this brings us back to John's message. If one day you understand that, you understand love, there's nothing else you need to learn about church life. So John really is familiar with the church in Asia Minor, especially the Ephesian church. The problem of the Ephesian church was the problem of love. Am I correct? The problem of love. So John said, "You have left your first love." John said, "Brothers and sisters, you have left your first priorities of fellowship with Christ. You have left your relationship with Christ, even though you are a very hardworking church." Going back to Revelation, John was instructed clearly by God in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. Say this: "Write the things which you have seen." Okay? The things which you have seen is in the vision. The things which are, the things that is happening right now, even until now, since 2,000 years ago until now, the things which are now happening, and the things which will take place after this. The things we have seen, definitely John has seen the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary, and the vision that John saw in chapter 1. That is the things which John has seen. The things which are happening now are the church life. The church life of the seven churches, including the present day churches, including Evangel Tabernacle. And it is still happening. But it's coming to an end soon. I want to tell you, church life is coming to an end soon. The events of the present day churches is in chapter 2 and chapter 3. In chapter 4, there's no more mention of church anymore. Because that will be the things which are about to happen from chapter 4. Where is the church life? The church is already resurrected to be with Christ. So the things which will take place after these things is after the rapture of the church, the 7-year tribulation, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the great millennium, the 1,000-year millennium. You understand carefully, okay? Revelation is the last book. Jesus' first attention in the book of Revelation is the church, which encompasses. I think Jesus' main attention right now in this world is the church. I don't understand why God allowed Ukraine to be attacked. And I heard that 75% of Ukrainians are Orthodox church. No matter what, they are still Christian. The Bible said judgments must begin in the house of God. And it is said that the Ukrainians are very faithful in their attendance every Sunday in church in Ukraine. So Jesus' attention, first concentration is the church. You cannot say that Jesus is not interested in all of us. Jesus' first attention is not directed at the world. Not directed at the Israelite even. Not even the Israelite. Not even the Jews. His first attention is not even the king of the north. It's not even the Antichrist or the king of the south. His attention is not in all. His first attention is the church. We. Again, the phrase, it is the last hour. It's implied when Jesus told of the things, brothers and sisters, the things which must shortly come to pass. And also the book of Revelation says, the time is at hand. It's here. As I said last week, the event that is unfolding before us is the last time, the final time. We are living in the things which must shortly come to pass. So Jesus is concerned for the church. His attention is concentrated on the church. That's why the letter. That's why Jesus, the title of my sermon is Jesus' letter to us. We can say that it's Jesus' personal letter to us. I feel that God, Jesus has an urgent message for the church. The message for the church is urgent, and we have to prepare ourselves. After chapter 3, the church is no more. No more. Disappeared. You don't believe you can read chapter 4 until 21. Nothing is talked about the church. It's gone. The church life is gone forever. The church life is only to exist for 2,000 years. And we are at the end of the 2,000 years. It's good to understand. To understand the urgency of this message. Because we are living at the threshold of the ending period of the church life. The purpose of the letters is to show us the problem of the church, the developing problem of the church, the spiritual needs of the church, and a call to faithfulness. A call to faithfulness, a call to godliness. Jesus is calling us to faithfulness. Jesus is calling us to godliness. And he comes with a warning. The church will be judged. The church will be judged. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 says this. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and heed the things which are written therein. for the time is near. The message to the church is so important, that Jesus accompanied with a blessing. You know the word bless, the Amplified version says, happy are you, prosperous are you, you are to be admired. If you read the Word of God, you read the book of Revelation especially. If I understand this phrase properly, I'm told that I am blessed this morning because I read Revelation. You see, it's so important that Jesus give a blessing if you read Revelation because of its importance. The King James, the New King James Version, okay, add the word aloud. He, blessed is he who reads. Okay, the New King James Version says, blessed is he who reads aloud. This is a public reading. I know that some churches read the scripture when in church attendance, which form part of their worship. Congregational reading of the scripture was done originally by specially trained members. They select very special members to come to the stage and they read aloud the scripture, which is done in a synagogue. The church adopted that form of worship of the synagogue. We have a historical confirmation of such form of worship in AD 167 when Justin Martyr said this. The church read a portion from the gospel and a portion from the prophets. Well, we do not do that. We do not do that. But here is mentioned a special blessing for us if we read the book of Revelation. Well, at least this morning, I'm reading some portion of Revelation. So I should get a blessing. There is not only a blessing for those who read, but those who hear. So you are here hearing Revelation. So there is a blessing to the congregation who are hearing the word coming from the book of Revelation. Many Bible commentators list seven elements that forms my sermon outline to the seven churches. There are 7 points that is mentioned which form my sermon outline. Number one, Jesus' address to the angel of the church. Description of Jesus, Jesus' knowledge of the church, positive, negative. Jesus' address to individual churches and their geographical, cultural, spiritual opportunity. Jesus speaks of his sudden, soon coming. Jesus admonishes spiritual hearing and understanding. Jesus promises a reward for faithful followers. Let's go. It won't be very long. Okay, I'm going to go very fast. Jesus' common address to the angel of the church. There's an angel of the church in the Evangelist Tabernacle. Because he said very clearly. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the 7 golden lampstands, say this. Okay, the Greek and Hebrew word for angel could refer to 3 things. The unique and spiritual character of an individual church. Evangelist Tabernacle has a unique and spiritual character that is different from another church. It can also refer to the pastor. The angel can refer to the pastor, or the angel can refer to an angel of the church. Okay, the Greek word for angel is angelos, and in Greek it is malak. Both terms can be translated as messenger. The angel is a messenger, or angels. There is several theories to the identity of this angel. Okay, number one, Evangelist Tabernacle, a church, as I said just now, has its unique spirit and character. So it refers to the unique spirit and character of the church. If this is a definition, then this letter is addressed to individual members. So you are not excluded. It's addressing to the individual members of Evangelist Tabernacle that form the church. They form the church. Thus, though the angel of the church is mentioned in the address of each letter, undoubtedly, it is a member of the church who are being addressed. So, Jesus is talking to you this morning, individually, to each and every one of us. What is the unique character and the spirit of our church? Let's be very honest. We are a pretty hardworking church, especially in the early years, part of our existence. We are definitely against very wrong doctrine. Okay, I remember there was a Mormon group that came walk into my church on the Tuesday Bible study. I went straight to them and said, please leave. See, we just want to listen. I said, no, please leave. We are definitely very anti-wrong doctrine. But sad to say, we are also a very pharisaical church. We have this elder brother spirit, which we are trying to change. This is a character. This is a unique character of our church. Then other people say the angels are the pastor of the church. So it refers to the personification of the church as a whole, symbolized in the pastor. Finally, another group say that this angel is actually the guardian angel of this church. In Hebrew thought, every nation has a guardian angel. Israel has a guardian angel, and the guardian angel is Michael, the archangel. People, members do have a guardian angel. I want to tell you that, especially those of you who are genuine Christian of God, you have a guardian angel. Wow! If I say that I have a guardian angel, it shows the tremendous love of God that is given to me. Personally, I always felt the protecting hand of God executed by the angels many times in my life, especially when I am driving.
That's right.
I dare to say that at least 10 times I was prevented from accident when driving. I mean, especially in Singapore, that 20 months, I tell you, I really felt the protecting hand of God. I felt an invisible hand, which could possibly be my guardian angel. I can also say that many times, I felt the guardian angel preventing me from committing wrong. Some of you are about to commit some wrong, but something prevented you from committing that wrong. And you know what I'm talking about. It is your guardian angel. When Rhoda, can you remember Rhoda? Rhoda came with the news that Peter has escaped from prison. The disciples said, you are mad. It is his angel. It is Peter's angel. It implies that Peter has his own guardian angel. Jesus himself spoke of the angels that protect little children. I believe that every little children, including born again and not born again, have their guardian angel. Jesus himself have his guardian angel. I believe that when he was born, when Herod wanted to kill him, the guardian angel protected him all the while, bringing him, after the Magi came, they brought him to Egypt. For a while, after he lived in Egypt, when he tried to go to back, the danger was there, and he decided to rest in Galilee. That's why the Bible said, he is from Galilee. He was constantly protected by a guardian angel. So the seven churches, the angel of the seven churches are identified and made responsible for the church. But I would like to highlight that the angel here most likely is addressed to the pastor, as well as the unique spirit and character of the church, meaning the members. The members form the unique character and spirit of the church. So it is addressed to the pastor as well as to the member. But the greater responsibility is to the pastor. That's why I look at some churches, the pastor, they don't understand the importance of them being the leader. Because upon him is all the hopes, the fears, the graces, the shortcoming. He is punished with it. He's rewarded with it. So it seems that the greater emphasis is on the pastor, who is actually the messenger put by God to take care of the church. Malachi 2:7 says this, the lips of the priest, do we have that? The lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and man should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messengers of the Lord of hosts. Okay? We talk about the lips of the priest. Honestly, for me, God put responsibility upon me. And if I lead the church in wrong doctrine, I'm responsible. If the church is dead, I'm accountable. As well as Pastor Lily. Number two, description of Jesus. Jesus is spoken of as the one who holds the seven star. The seven star, as I say, are the churches. The word hold talks about a firm, sure grasp. That means Jesus whole us. Nothing and no one can separate us from the love of Jesus. Do you know that? Except your own refusal to repent and follow Him. Nothing can separate us from God. Except your own refusal to follow Him. Except your unbelief. Only unbelief can separate us from Jesus. In His right hand. Okay, here the word in His right hand. It is an anthropomorphic metaphor. Okay, when I use that word, I'm talking about you see God in physical term. In His right hand, the right hand talks about He is a God of power. He's a God of authority. That means He said, when I hold you in my right hand, and when I hold Eventual Tabernacle, I'm holding it with my power and my authority. And when He said that He walks among us, the word walks is another anthropomorphic metaphor. It means the presence of Jesus is with us. So Jesus is saying that I hold you with my power and authority, and I walk among the midst of you. How can you feel the presence of God this morning when you're worshiping? Because Jesus walks among. I remember some of you said that there was one time when the church, Eventual Tabernacle, was in peep form. Some of you were singing and hear the angels singing along with us. He walked in the midst of each and every one of us. So please understand. You must understand there's something very urgent for Eventual Tabernacle. Jesus said that I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. But Jesus' last word for the church is not Matthew. Jesus' last word for the church is Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3. It's for us. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, He says, He is the first and the last. It's referred to Yahweh, synonymous with He is the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the ending. He's the beginning and the ending. He was said so clearly that He was dead and came back to life. Jesus was a lamb that died on the cross for each and every one of us, was slain, and now He is alive. He emphasized Jesus once for all, not repeatedly, but once for all, substitutionary death and resurrection. When we see all the description of Jesus, we realize that we are in safe hand. That nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jesus said that He holds the key of death and life. Listen carefully. He holds the power of hell and heaven. Death and life. So the Christian has hope in death. When we die, we are ushered immediately, because He holds the key. We are ushered immediately to the throne of heaven. He holds that key. He decides who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. If the devil wants to bring you to hell, Jesus said, no, the door to hell is locked for this person. If someone wants to go, Satan wants to bring someone to heaven, Jesus said, no, the door to heaven is locked for this person. He holds the key of death and Hades. Jesus this time appeared to John, not like the John who saw Jesus 3 years ago. No. When Jesus was there 3 years with them, He saw a resurrected, a powerful, ascended, a glorious, a bright Christ that holds the authority for all. That is our Jesus. Number three, Jesus' knowledge of the church. Churches, both positive and negative. You know, Jesus said, I know, in Ephesians chapter 2, in the letter to Ephesians, I know, implies that Jesus sees. Jesus understands. Jesus cares for you. He knows what you have been doing. He knows at present what you are doing. He said, I know. His concern involves both affirmation. If you are doing good, I know you are doing good. And discipline, if you are not doing good, which is a form of parental love. The same phrase is repeated throughout the whole seven churches. I know, I know, I know. The Old Testament background of this term implies intimate personal relationship. We cannot say today that Jesus left us alone in this world. No, you cannot say that. If you are an active church member, Jesus knows. And He tells you that I know. But don't forget the priority of your first love towards me. When we persevere in our service, Jesus knows. He knows that you have taken a voluntary, active, steadfast endurance for his work. He knows. What does Jesus know about us? To one church, he said, I know your works. That you are not idle. They are not listless people. But you are active, you are alert, you are open. Your eyes are open to bring souls to the kingdom of God. He knows. He knows our labor. He's mentioned twice the word labor. I know your labor. I know your labor. And he said that I delight in the quality of your work as well as the quantity of your work. He knows your work. Your labor is strenuous. Your labor is not only strenuous, wholehearted. Your labor is wholehearted. He knows. He knows that your labor is there. And he knows your tribulation. He knows your suffering. He knows your patience. Jesus knows we have borne cruel, fierce, relentless, unjust suffering when our enemy inflicted us. And yet, we are not deterred. We are still going on. He said, I know. I know. I know. Jesus too has the knowledge of the negative aspect of our life. Yeah. For one, some has left the first love. This is an active church, but have forgotten the priorities of fellowship with Christ. For two, the church has the problem of the deeds of Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans is synonymous with the word Balaam. You know, Balaam caused the Israelites to commit immorality. The teaching of Nicolaitans is very similar to the teaching of Balak and Jezebel. Jezebel caused the whole nation to commit idolatry. So four times, twice Nicolaitans, one time Balak, one time Jezebel. Four times in the seven churches, the problem of Nicolaitans has been mentioned. There's been much speculation about Nicolaitans. But what is obvious is Nicolaitans means a mixture of worship with idolatry. The participation in pagan worship and practices which involve sexual immorality. You know, somehow the problem of the church always has to do with sexual immorality. And I think this is one of the big problems of the church of today. So the Nicolaitans definitely involve sexual immorality. And Jesus said, I know. I know. I know. So you cannot say Jesus doesn't know. Number four, Jesus addresses the individual churches. This is very important. This is for each and every one of us. Jesus addresses the individual churches and their cultural, geographical, and spiritual opportunities. The Greek word for church is ecclesias. Okay, it is a compound word, used a combination of two Greek terms. Out of, to call. We are called out of, to call. To ministry. We are called out of to ministry. Many of us, we just enjoy the fellowship of the church. We are called out of the world to come to church. But we forget the second part, to call to ministry. The early church, okay, the Hebrew word is kahar, assembly of Israel. The early Christians used to designate it, and they saw themselves as the people of God. Okay, they see themselves as divinely called by God for salvation. See, called by God for salvation and ministry. I just want to tell us that we are called out of this world. Please, how long can you live? How long can you live? I'm already 60. Your life here is so short, so short. Yet we are so glued to this life. We are called out of this world and called to ministry. The world is definitely not our home. We are just a passing by. And somewhere beyond the blue, there's a mansion laid before you, and the angels are beckoning you, calling you to get ready to go to that mansion. In the meantime, while here we are on earth, we are called to ministry. I'm called to pastor this church. Okay, I talk about myself. I cannot say I don't want to pastor this church anymore because some leaders stumbled me. I cannot say I don't want to minister anymore because I'm disillusioned with some people in the church. If there is a true reason they are saying, your lips will be sealed. You'll be tongue-tied when you appear before Christ. I just want to tell you now. These are not the good reasons. You cannot say that. I will be held accountable to what I'm called to do. I cannot give an excuse. Because it is people. It's because of people. They are not ministering. You cannot give the answer for that. That cannot be a reason. The church is the center of life. See, it's very important. The church is called out to call. Out of the world to ministry. The church is the center of life. I remember very clearly in the early years when I went to minister in Pastor Rogers and Rosemary's Rukina's church. I remember I was there and God gave me a download which I cannot forget even until today. I have this prophetic download for that church. And God's message for the church of Libertad is, God has made Libertad to be a shining light in the whole of Libertad. And because of its shining light, the surrounding darkness that is so dark will come to that light. It will be like a lighthouse in the harbor where ships in darkness of the ocean will see the light. And they will know how to maneuver in the pitch black darkness. The world is in the pitch black darkness. Let me tell you right now. You know, my daughter has a baby, right? So she's intending to have what we call hypnotic what?
Hypno birth.
I tell you, Pastor Lily say, Joy, you empty your mind. Then Pastor Lily say, Joy, hey, what emptying your mind? We have to be filled with Christ. When you empty your mind, you let the devil come and then she said, Mommy, you don't understand. This is the latest. You are always so backward. The latest that Pastor Lee, Joy, I want to tell you something. You don't forget your first rule. You don't forget your first call. You don't forget your ancient landmark. How did they become like that? Thank God Joy has Pastor Lee to warn her and to guide her. Because they've been hold so heavily hypnotized by the world. Social media, yeah. We all hypnotized by the social media. We are all. I give you an example. Singapore media, their reports are so good about the whole world. Accurate to the brim, to the dot, about the whole world. But when it comes to Singapore, they are not correct. Because they bullied the opposition party. The opposition party, there's nothing talk about the opposition party except the People's Action Party. Look at the Al Jazeera. Okay, the media. They are so good with the... I tell you, they are one of the best media. But when they come to Israel, to Middle East, they are anti-Israel. They are pro the Arab world. So, you know, we are all... I mean, look at the world. I mean, Zelensky has so smart. He's winning the media battle against Putin. He used the media to cause the whole world to come against Putin. I know all of you don't like Putin, right? You hate Putin, right? But one of the reasons is because of the media. Because of Zelensky. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. We are the shining light. You will be the lighthouse. Evangel Tabernacle is to be a center of light. Represented by the golden candlestick. Evangel Tabernacle exists as a light bearer. We are to receive our light of truth from Christ who is the light of truth. We are to receive from Christ who will teach us and guide us and extend it. The light of purity. That we will keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. The light of love that we gladden each other with. Churches are the only institution. Evangel is the only institution or among the only institutions in the world that exists solely for this purpose. What purpose? To be the light bearer. We are created above angels. Do you know that? I mean, why must guardian angel take care of us? We are created above angels. We are among the highest of God's creation. those born again who have been saved, we are likened to the golden candlestick, the light. We see by this figure how valuable God has placed on each and every one of us. This heavy responsibility falls specially to the angels of the church. According to a church fidelity, according to a church infidelity, so will be its destiny. I say again, according to your fidelity, according to your infidelity, so will be your destiny. If unfaithful, the church will be judged, chastised, possibly swept away. If faithful, Jesus will set before you an open door. No one can shut. Please note these two important truths concerning the church. Churches have nothing to fear, except from their sluggishness and ineptness to meet the demands of the age. Do you know that no artificial help can help you to perpetuate a dead church? And no artificial church help can help a church. No artificial help is needed for a church that is living, that is faithful, that's alive. You don't need anything. It's already alive. But if you are a dead church, no matter how you do, what artificial aid you have, or this program, that program, you will not have a church that is dead. Secondly, there must not only be an overcoming on the part of the church, if it is to be continued, but also an individual member's overcoming on the part of each individual, if he is ultimately to share the Lord's victory. Let us not forget, just as a church can be dead, there will be a few that is alive. Just as a whole member, a few members that is dead, the whole church is alive. You know what I'm trying to say? The Lord is coming. Everyone has to give an account of himself. Everyone has to bear his own burden. Oh, Pastor Lily is so alive. As long as I sit beside her, I will be okay. No. 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 As long as the pastor are alive, I'm okay. No. You are wrong. Every one of us have to give an account of himself. Every man has to bear his own burden. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, he has made us a kingdom of priests to his God. Another translation put it as a kingdom of priests to serve God. This is actually the Old Testament term used for Israel. Israel was considered the kingdom of priests. God chose Abraham to choose Israel to reach out to the lost world. Israel failed badly. God chose the church, finally, to reach the world. The very address that was used for Israel is now used for the church. God used the church to reach the world. I repeat in my beginning introduction, the purpose of the letter is to show the developing problems of the church, the spiritual needs of the church, and a call to faithfulness and godliness. And it comes with a warning. The church also will be judged. Number 5, Jesus speaks of his sudden soon coming. He says in chapter 2 verse 5, or else I'm coming to you. Another time he say, I come quickly. Another time he say, I come like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night is found in Revelation. It's also found in Thessalonians. Okay? Don't say like a thief in the night is only found in Thessalonians. Like a thief in the night is found in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I come quickly. I'm coming to you. I come like a thief in the night. The coming of Jesus will be sudden and soon. And it is a common theme throughout the whole book of Revelation. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. In the Old Testament, the coming of God brings blessing and judgment. In this context, Christ's coming will bring blessing and judgment. The Bible says, the church yet through the fire. Is God trying to tell us that some of us will go through the trials, the fire of the 7-year tribulation, where the whole church as a whole is raptured up, but you are left behind? You will be saved, yet through the fire. Yet through the fire. That's why it's Jesus' letter to the church. Jesus' letter to us. Number six, Jesus admonishes spiritual hearing and understanding. Revelation chapter 2 verse 5, remember therefore from whence you have fallen and repent and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. Repentance is crucial for a faith relationship with God, with Christ. The Hebrew word means a change of action. In Greek, it means a change of the mind from one's self-centeredness. You know, the members of the church of today are so self-centered. We are talking about the children of the new generation. Nobody will tell them, nobody can guide them and tell them what to do. They make decisions on their own. The problem of the new generation. Okay, like we cannot, Pastor Lady cannot tell John and Jen anymore anything. You know how she do it? She pray. She cannot tell them, but she pray. They will not, I know how to make my own decision. Please let me make my own decision. The new generation is like that. So God is calling for a change from your old self-centered existence to a life directed, informed by God. He called for a turning of the priorities of your life, the bondages of your life, to a new attitude, a new worldview, a new master. Repentance is God's will for every fallen child of God, made in His image. I said last week, when we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us from all sin, and we must go to Him in confession. Finally, in conclusion, Jesus promises a reward for faithful followers. I tell you, it's so beautiful. The Savior's promise is made to individual. Everyone has a reward. Yes, everyone has a reward. Strengthened by this phrase, to him that overcome. No, Brent Sandy lists the promises made to the faithful believer, to us. He talks about the promises as, I will give you a tree of life. I will give you the crown of life. I give you a white stone. I give you authority over the nation. That means some of you will rule. I give you the morning star. You will rest in white. You will be a pillar in God's temple. Some of you, you will be priests in God's temple. I will give you the name of God that is embedded on your forehead. You will not have embedded on your forehead, the 666, but you will embedded on your forehead the name of God. I will give you the name of Jerusalem. I will make you to sit in God's throne, sit together with Christ in God's throne. Do you know how much Jesus had to go through in order to bring us to the book of Revelation? Jesus claimed himself to be Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha is the beginning. The Omega means the end. The book of Acts marks the Alpha of Christ's reign of the church. The book of Revelation marks the Omega of the church. Here in the book of Revelation, we see Jesus as the one that holds the seven churches. Jesus is the one that holds Evangel Tabernacle. His desire is that Evangel Tabernacle, the body of Christ, bought by His precious blood, fulfills her role as the golden candlestick, the light bearer for the world. The church, the body of Christ, the redeemed believers are in the light to the world, to be the light bearer in the several localities. Indeed, the last word of Jesus is not in Matthew. The last word of Jesus is in the book of Revelation. We see Jesus singling out the seven churches with its flaw and sins. And He gave the abomination, the admonition repeatedly for each of us to repent so that He will not remove us. The admonition of Jesus to the seven churches can be appropriated corporately as a church, but also individually as an individual. Yes, what I'm trying to tell you is this. As an individual of Christ, we are like the church of Ephesus, the believers who have left the first love for Christ and His teaching. As individual, some of us are like the church of Smyrna. Some of you are like that, undergoing persecution, yet trying to remain faithful. Some of you here are like the church of Pergamon, the church who compromised their belief. The church of Thyatira, who follows false prophet. The church of Sardis, some of you are spiritually dead. The church of Philadelphia, you are poor. I mean, you are not a rich person, but you believe patiently, you endure despite weaknesses. The church of Laodicea, Jesus said, I wish you are hot, I wish you are cold. But Jesus said, no, you are lukewarm. You are so lukewarm in your faith. These will be the conditions among the seven churches, among us. In the last day, Jesus, out of his love to redeem this church, asked John to write this letter to us. He knows the problem. And he said this. He said, right now, even right now, the concern of Jesus, no matter where you are, is for you, Evangel Tabernacle, and the members. So now, if you find yourself as a Christian falling into one of these categories, it's time for you to repent, conquer our sin and flaws so that we can get to enjoy the rewards that Christ reserved for you in the Omega timeline, the ending time Christ has set for us. So say, Pastor, how do I conquer the sins and the flaw found in my life, even until today? You go back to Christ, the Alpha of the church at the cross. We end victoriously with the Omega, the conqueror in the Omega age, now the last age. Catch a vision of Jesus Christ and his Alpha work on the cross. Catch a vision of Christ on the work of the cross. And enjoy the reward of the Omega, the final time. 2,000 years ago, Christ became the Alpha of our salvation. So by dying on the cross, on the tree of death, so that in the Omega time, in right now, Christ died on the cross of Calvary, so that right now, this Omega time, we can have the tree of life. You can have the tree of life. Christ became the offer of our salvation by wearing the crown of thorns, so that in the Omega time now, you can wear the crown of life. Christ became the Alpha of salvation 2,000 years ago by becoming the rejected cornerstone, so that in the Omega time, in this time right now, you can become the white stone with a name inscribed in it. Christ became the Alpha of salvation 2,000 years ago by being subdued by evil men and Satan, so that in the Omega time right now, we can have authority over the nations and shines like the morning star. Christ becomes the Alpha of salvation 2,000 years ago by staining his life with the filth of our sin. So right now, in the Omega time, we can wear his white garment of righteousness, and your name will not be blotted out from the book of life. You can come to this Alpha and Omega, allowing sin and evil to destroy his holy temple on the cross, so that in our time, we become pillar in God's temple, with the name of God and the name of Jerusalem written on it, leaving his heavenly throne to come and dwell among us, so that in the Omega time, right now, we can sit on God's throne. You know the tremendous power of Christ at the cross of Calvary. I don't know what category you are in. Where is your condition? Where is your position? But I've shown you that if you focus on Christ right now, the Alpha in this Omega time, you can have all these promises of God in your life. All these will become our reward as we learn to conquer the last day sin and spirit by looking at what Jesus has already done as the Alpha of our salvation, the forerunner of our salvation, and appropriating them into our life. We can conquer our sin in the degree we grasp how Christ has fought and conquered each category of the flaws and sins of the seven churches on the cross. Jesus' letter to you. Where are you? This is the last time. I do not know how to explain to you, but I hope that you understand what I'm trying to tell you today. Jesus is talking to you. And don't say that you are hopeless. No. You come to Jesus. You focus on Jesus. Like Jesus said, focus on the Alpha of salvation on the cross. What he has done on the cross. And let the blood be applied unto you so that you can enjoy the Omega of God's blessing upon you. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? This morning, I want you to look at Jesus. Christmas, Good Friday is coming. Easter is coming. I want you to focus on Jesus. I just want you to focus on Him. I don't know the level and the conditions of the state of your life right now. But you can come to Him, the Alpha of our salvation on the cross. And say, God, Jesus, I need you. I really need you in this Omega time. I really need you. I call upon you, the Alpha of my salvation. Let the Omega of your blessing be upon me this morning. Shall we all stand up? You're going to sing. And I want you to take this time. Take this time. The angels of God is here. The angels of God is here. God has done everything. Do you know that God wants everyone, none excluded, to be with Him in paradise? Can you remember the thief? He said, Jesus, please remember me. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. I want you to focus on the cross. And I want you to say like the thief, please remember me. Cleanse me from all the filth, from all the dirt. Revive my soul. Let me love you. Open my eyes that I'm not hypnotized by the world. Let's sing. Let's sing.
Yahweh, most holy one. Yahweh, the great I am. Oh, glory. Yours, we give it all to you, 'cause it's yours, Yahweh, your God Almighty, Yahweh, we bless your name.
God wants to restore souls. He wants to renew you. He wants you to start all over with Him one more time. Yes. His letter to you is asking you to come back to Him, to repent, to walk with Him. And He tells you that He will give you the tree of life. Your name will be written in the book of life. You will be with Him forever and ever. So right now, if you are those people, I'm going to sing the song again, and I want you to just call upon Jesus. Call upon Jesus. Let's sing.
Yahweh, most holy one. Yahweh, glory and honor and power is yours.
Looking at our sin, looking at the wrong spirit, looking at the hard hardness of our heart, we look at Jesus. You have done on the cross. You have become the Alpha of our salvation, the forerunner of our salvation. And as we look at you, the work has been done. We appropriate it into our life. Father, as we grasp what you have done and fought and conquered, each of the flaws and sins of our life, Father, we appropriate it into our life. And you do a wonderful work as we focus upon you this morning. Father, I pray for the congregation that they will not just go home like that, but they will think over their life for the whole week. And they will think about the time that they are living in. They will go back and read the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, and 3. And meditate upon it so clearly that they will appropriate the power of Christ that is done for them. That they don't have to be defeated. As long as they are close to Jesus, they will be conqueror. They will be overcomer. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you very much. God bless you. Please be seated. Please take note that next week, okay, we have our service. But next week, we were bringing back our SCG. Am I correct? Okay, so please take note. I'd like to encourage you to come for our SCG. It will be at 9 a.m., okay? Instead of 10 a.m. coming to church, you come 1 hour earlier. Okay, you need to study the Word of God. Then next, please take note that Good Friday is coming soon, okay? There will be a Good Friday service and there will be Easter Sunday service. Thank you very much. God bless you. Can't sell dismissed. Thank you.